Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Kemp, Texas, and Becker United Methodist Church of Becker Community. We are doing our joint online worship service this morning. We are here this morning, May 10th. It is the fifth Sunday of Easter. It is also this wonderful day that, where we recognize mothers of all kinds. So it is Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you who are joining us this morning to watch our program, to participate in our worship service. And I hope that you are, like me, enjoying the fact that we are, in this time of sheltering, still able to celebrate those who we care about the most. And one of those people is sitting right next to me, my wife, who's mother of my children. Also, my mom and mother-in-laws and my stepmother, all of those who have had a hand in developing me as the, what I will call a young man that I am, although I have quite a bit of gray hair these days, and to be the example of Christ that they have shown and taught me to be. So it is a wonderful thing, and I'm glad to see those of you who are able to join us this morning. As you continue to sign on, I'd like to encourage you to continue to type in a little welcome message or good morning so that we know that you're here and visiting with us and watching with us and participating in our service this morning. And good morning to each of you as you're coming online. I see more and more people coming online, so that's wonderful. Birthdays, I think Doug Cross has a birthday today, if I remember seeing that correctly in one of the emails this week. So happy birthday, Doug, as well as happy Mother's Day, Anna. And I hope you guys can really enjoy your double celebration you have going on there and really capitalize in this as we maybe as we start bringing up reopening of the economy, right? And, you know, there's Doug and Anna right there. So good happy birthday, Doug, and happy Mother's Day, Anna. I was just speaking of you guys, so I just repeat that for you. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Those of you, if I missed your birthday, I'm sorry. Please know that I am thinking of you, and I wish you the best. With all that said, our announcement. We are going to continue with our a couple of things. We started using Zoom for a couple of different things this week. One, we just had a youth Sunday school class that I think that went off pretty well. I'm looking at how we can utilize that. If the adult Sunday school would like to start meeting again, we could have that, see if we can't schedule two different meetings at the same time and get those running in conjunction. That's some technical questions I have for the Zoom support people. And then the other thing I was going to mention is on Wednesdays we have our Bible study, Wednesday evenings. We tried the afternoon and not many people could join us there, so maybe it's better we try it in the evening. Since nobody has to drive, I hope you can join us. Let's try that for the next couple of weeks. So this week, instead of the 12 o'clock time period of noon, let's plan on 7. Hopefully you can have dinner. We had a quick dinner and everything this past Wednesday, and we're able to join. Kim and I both are on that and facilitate it. We had a couple of people join us, and that was really nice to have some discussion around our lectionary. Text that we had this week, which was last week, I should say, was Acts 7 and the John 14. So those were both quite insightful and I think timely. So definitely it's something I enjoy doing. So if you guys would like to join us again, that's 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. And all are welcome. And just send me an email if you're not already one of the people who've been kind of regularly attending. And I'll make sure I add you to the invite so that you have the right meeting number and password. So that's critical and able to join in through the Zoom conference. A couple of administrative things on Zoom. You don't have to use your camera. You could actually just call in if that's better for you. If you are living in an area where your internet connectivity is a little bit spotty, whether it's through a cell tower or through your normal connection at your home. So you can definitely just call in. There's call-in numbers that you could use and dial into the meeting. And just that way you could just participate via voice. So that way you could still hear and participate and be able to share your thoughts. So I'd love to have you join in that way as well if you can. Christy, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you too. if there's nothing else, let's begin our worship service this morning after I begin with our centering words. Hopefully you've got the order of worship this morning. I sent it out yesterday evening, I think, so we'll follow along. And let's go to this time with God and really just prepare our hearts and our minds to be in worship, all right? God is our rock, the foundation of our spiritual home. We are living stones used to build God's house. Join me in our call to worship. Welcome home, people of God. We have come to find refuge in the shelter of God's care. Sorry there. Come and sit down. There is room for everyone in God's house.
We have come to be nourished by God's word.
We are God's own people and are precious in God's sight. We have come to give thanks for God's faithful love. Amen. And our opening prayer is there listed, and please join me. We gather today, O God, our guide and our guardian, remembering those who nurtured us, protected us, and helped us grow. We give you thanks for homes that accept us and affirmed us as precious children. In the shelter of your healing love, fortify us as living stones and build us into a spiritual home where all are welcome. In the name of Christ, our foundation and cornerstone, we pray. Amen. Amen indeed. Now we go to our children's message that's brought to us by my wonderful wife, Kim.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see you every week joining and listening. And today, you know, there's a lot of talk all week about mothers. I have been blessed to have two. So my parents were divorced and remarried, and Mr. David's parents were divorced and remarried. So we actually have four moms, so we're blessed all around with moms, and we really appreciate them and love them. And they're all so unique and different and share with mm-hmm. us such wonderful things. But it makes me think back of biblical times and our first mom that we met in Jesus' life, which is Mary. And she was there when he was born. She was there with him always, and there the day he died, actually. She was very loyal, very loving, very kind. And when I think of her, I just think of love and giving and loyalty and steadfastness and kindness. And it really makes me appreciate my moms for being there for me. It makes me want to be a better mom, to be there for my children. But really just to think about when people think of me, I want them to think of love and kindness and gentleness and loyalty, just like Mary was a great example to us about how moms were and how we should treat our moms and how we should be with our children. So I would like for you this week to think about who does that for you. It might be your mom, your grandma, your aunt, anyone that's around you, and just say thank you and be very appreciative of everything they do to you. And just try to think about how people will think of you if they said, you know, hey, that person is blank. And hopefully their answer would say full of love and full of kindness, full of gentleness. So let's lead by being an example. Remember the examples that we have in the Bible mm-hmm. that we can look for. And remember to say thanks to those who have been before us to help us along the way. So let's say a prayer.
All right.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all of your gifts and the examples that you lay before us in our past. Help us to be wonderful, loving, giving people in our present and to be witness and guide those in our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim. She's going to step away and follow along or as we continue with our worship service. She'll log in there from her phone and listen to the message and whatnot. I'm making a little adjustment here on the camera so I'm more center screen. And so you can see my wonderful face. Pardon the hair this morning. It's kind of unruly, not wanting to listen too much. Trying to tack it back with what I can, but it is one of those days where humidity seems to win out a little bit or something's going on there. But anyway, I'll do my best to not let it bother me so much. I hope it doesn't take away from your experience listening to our message as we come forth. We come to our time of scripture reading. It is going to be 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. So if you can grab your Bible and follow along. Again, I grabbed my trusty old, kind of getting beat up now, Wesley Study Bible. And I will begin with verses 2 and end with verse 10. So if you'd like to follow along, that is, again, 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. This whole last few weeks of just following along in 1 Peter, it's my first time to really kind of do anything in-depth in 1 Peter. Not that I haven't read it here and there and possibly seen some quotes from time to time, but to really just follow along, you know, with the lectionary and kind of look at each week, how that applies to kind of what we're going through, kind of what, you know, we might have been through. There is this neat, I use the word neat, that's funny. Anyway, there's this neat kind of way that it has this general theme that kind of follows through the whole letter, which I guess well-written letters or pieces of literature should do that. They should follow some sort of theme. But today's passage, comes from chapter 2. And the passage takes us back to the beginning of chapter 2. And really, back to the beginning, really kind of thinking about our faith journey, right? We have this imagery in verse 2 of infants that look for nourishment from milk, reminding us here on Mother's Day that we all started out small enough to be held in even just one hand by our parents or our mothers, and held to the bosom to be nourished by milk, and we get this imagery of going back to that, right? Like we need to come back. We have this yearning, this in this case it's that spiritual milk that allows us to grow in our salvation, and that's the piece that, as we've learned and we understand as Wesleyan Methodists, we're even reminded of here that salvation is not this instantaneous, all at once occurrence, right, or event. It is that process that allows for us, to be moved from the people we are or were to the people that God calls us to be. And what that means is it's this kind of this journey that we're going on, right? And as last week we thought about how we respond to the world, or how it is that we would respond to the world as Jesus would. I asked that question, what would Jesus do, or what should we do in light of what Jesus did? Those thoughts, this week we are really kind of pointing, or I guess the what I was invited to think about, or what I think we should be invited to think about, are to consider the question of is how do we get there? How do we get to that place in our lives that we can respond as Christ would or Christ did for those around us, right, for others? The focus of our life as Christians and a life of faith is this, in fact, I should, is a manner that answers the question, or is to act in a manner that answers the question, where we are going, or where are you going? And what I mean by that is, and to the extent is that we should be in our actions showing people, or they, if they're asking, if they're thinking, what is going on with that person, that it should be very clear to them who we are being or portraying as an example of, and then who, where we would like to go with that, where we would like to encourage them to follow. And as we go on that thought or answer that question, we also as Christians and people of faith, to the extent as possible, we probably need to forget where it is that we've been, right? I guess the where we are or the were when the journey begins is relatively the same for all of us. So it's not something that we feel like we should dwell on too much. And I say that because what I mean by that is we all start at this same point that's really just apart from God. Wherever it is that we think we are or should have been or what we were doing, it really boils down to the fact that we're away from God, we're apart from God, we're not really following the path that God has for us, right? And then there's something that happens that happened to us that really has to happen in order for us to change our direction, right? Our path, that path that then can be changed to one that is that moves us toward God, so that the goal, once we're on that path, the focus, the drive for us then becomes this process of character formation. And that is not only moves us towards God, but also allows for us to become like Christ, right? So if we look at verse 4, what happens is we come to him, a living stone. So that means we have this interaction with Jesus. And for many of us, I should say for all of us, it has to be a meaningful action or interaction or encounter with Christ. It has to be meaningful. Otherwise, we are just like the mortals that reject him. And you know, the ones that reject the stone, right? Those that it becomes a stumbling block for. If we don't have a meaningful encounter with Christ, we are no different from those that choose not to follow, not to believe. So it has to be this meaningful encounter where we're moved, otherwise we're not moved, and we're unchanged by that interaction. And that may be our story or our path. One of us may have had to encounter Jesus several times before the seed finally took hold. And that's pretty common. Sometimes it's just a one-time thing, but for many of us and from all different walks of life and all different experiences, sometimes it takes multiple encounters with Christ before we have any desire that starts to build up in us, that longing for, that they describe, that craving for that spiritual milk that we see in verse 2. But nevertheless, we now find ourselves here at this point. We've kind of gone through that piece. We're trying to move into this next piece of growth on our salvation, our path to salvation, this character formation, and we're at this point where we too are these living stones, and we're called to be living stones like Christ, stones that God uses to build us into this spiritual house, a house that is suitable for the Spirit of God to dwell in. I want us to think about that for a minute. Let that thought sink in about what it means to be a house suitable for the Spirit of God to dwell in. We're to be these dwelling places where God's Spirit dwells within us. And the question again comes to my mind, or our mind, or it should come to our mind. How do I get there? How do I become suitable for Christ's Spirit, God's Spirit, to dwell within? How do I become a living stone? That requires some work, right? The Wesley Study Bible puts it this way. They had a life application topic at the end or at the bottom of our footnotes, and I want to read it to you real quick, or at least a piece of it. It's a set portion that says, the new birth, and this is referring to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the new birth there is not a magical event that changes a person instantly into the likeness of Christ, but the commitment to the daily journey of intentional painful and sacrificial work of character formation. That's the piece that really jumps out at us, right? This is a commitment to the daily journey of intentional, painful, and sacrificial work of character formation. And then it goes on to say, the Jesus follower must constantly deal with the character issues of the flesh that threaten to sabotage the soul, damage relationships, and neutralize the mission of Christ. Ouch, right? That really hits home if we think about how we're living into that. What does that come down to us? What does it come down to us? That commitment to the daily journey of intentional, painful, and sacrificial work of character formation? Well, that's the core of it, right? That is how we get there. That is the how, that is the way in which we are able to become new people, right? To grow into that person that God calls us to be. It's through character formation. And I love that they put in here that it's intentional, that it's painful, that it's sacrificial. The work is not made to be easy. The results are not always going to come very easily to us. The problem that we have for many of us is, or it can be, that we maybe are too much like water in our mindset, right? In this sense of it anyway, in that water is going to choose the path of least resistance. So if you are familiar with how water flows, right, downhill or through a valley or through whatever area of landscape, erosion will happen. Water chooses that path of least resistance. So if there's a softer stone, it'll erode that area first. If it flows downhill and it runs into a stone, it'll go around it. All these things, right? Any obstacle, water tends to just choose the path of least resistance. And that's what we would really love as humans, to just wake up and be kind of like water. We'd want to just choose that path of least resistance. So when we wake up each day, we don't really want to think about the commitment to the journey, right? The intentional commitment, the intentional, painful, and sacrificial work of character formation. That isn't really like water. That's not like in our nature to want to choose what's always harder. At least not always, right? Like some of us may have that, but some of us, if you're more like me, I should say, you really have to work on that intentionality. And so when you're doing these things and we get up in the morning, we'd rather just get up, move on without thinking about it too much. But when we do that, when we go ahead and just jump into the day, what we risk is the issues of flesh, right? Those issues of our flesh that come back to bite us, right? That work against that new purpose of our lives, right? That new purpose of our faith journey that is to be part of the chosen race, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. When we allow ourselves not to get up and intentionally and painfully and sacrificially work towards character, you know, a new character and within us, we're not going to be answering that call to be part of that chosen race. And we've been there before, right? We've done that. We know where it goes. It leads us away from God. And that's something we've probably done many times over and have been left very unsatisfied by the experience of it all, right? There is, and at this point in our journey, we should not want that, right? We are at this point now where we feel that is not what we want. We want the path of intentional, painful, sacrificial formation, character formation. That is the path that we choose to navigate. And that is the part that we maybe have a hard time even when we think about our own lives and our own journey, understanding how far we've come. Maybe we don't want to give ourselves some credit, but we do. We do make these little steps. It's a process, like I said. We follow the path. We get on the path that God calls us to, that path that God has before us. It is the work that is hard. It is also very rewarding, though, right? Once you get through maybe a painful growth piece, you have this opportunity to kind of look back and look around and say, hey, you know, I'm better for it. It was a tough time, yes, but I'm better for it. And I want to say that not that life all of a sudden gets easier, right? But it is in the sense that when we get past or face one of those life storms and we get past it, we're better equipped to handle it the next time we have one of those storms. we're also better equipped to help those around us, right? That piece of helping others, loving God, loving others. It's how we can help others. We're better equipped to do so when they're facing those storms as well. I want to give us an example, as I always try to. And this week, instead of using food and eating like I often do, I thought I would use another example that's kind of near and dear to Kim and I. We like to do these puzzles, right? And I say these puzzles. We like to do any puzzles, to be honest with you. And as I've seen on Facebook posts, there's many of you out there that have been posting pictures of completed puzzles. So I know that you have the same, enthusiasm when it comes to puzzle making. And we've had this even before the pandemic. I remember when we had a little kind of a meet and greet the very first year I was appointed there at Kemp and Becker. We stayed at the parsonage during the Christmas Eve from the morning service and into the evening, and we had a puzzle set up and we were working on puzzles. So some of y'all stopped by and we worked on a puzzle together. But these puzzles, Kim and I would often every few weeks we'd pull a puzzle out of our closet and we buy them here and there pretty cheap, usually on sale, and then we would work on it, and it takes us a couple of 3 days, maybe 4 days or something, and then we'll post a picture, and I usually send those to my sister to brag that, it only took us 4 days, and they're into puzzling too. They don't do as many, but like you and like me and like many, they are finding more and more time during this time of sheltering to do more puzzles. And so even us, we have done that same thing. And leading up into this time of sheltering, we were actually getting in this groove of the puzzles, and we were completing them, harder and harder ones. We'd, kind of bragging, oh yeah, that one took a week, and then we'd, pick another puzzle and it was even more challenging. There was this penguin puzzle, took us a couple, 3 weeks, almost a month probably to finish, and it was just this, picture of a, I don't know what you call them, a flock of penguins there, emperor penguins on the ice there. And hundreds of them in the photo, and you just kind of pieced them all together. That took us about a month, and we were like, yeah, knocked it out. And then we had this, probably the hardest challenging puzzle I've ever had and tried in my life anyway. And it took, I'm not going to lie, it took us a while. It took us about 3, maybe even 4 months to complete. And this was right up until Christmas and the end of last year. And it was tough. And all it was a herd of zebras, and they're just standing around facing different directions. There's different focal points, so some of it's blurry or out of focus, and some of it's in more focus, and it's just black and white lines all over this puzzle piece, and you're trying to figure out how to put them all together. And it was a 1,000-piece puzzle, much like the penguins, also a 1,000-piece. We're like, oh man, this is quite challenging. And I'm not going to lie, I was so tired of that puzzle by the end, I was ready to just box it up and complete. Just not even complete it, throw it out with the recycling. Seriously, that's the point where I was. It was this thought of having to go into the, we do it on our dining table, and I'm trying to figure out how to complete this puzzle that is literally hurting my eyes and driving me crazy to look at. And that's where I'm at. But we pushed through it, right? We pushed through until the end, and we persevered, as far as we could go anyway. You see, over the course of the 3 or 4 months that it took us to complete the puzzle, we lost some of the pieces along the way. Does that ever happen to you when you're puzzling and something you think is going to be great when you finally finish, especially when we started getting down to that last, 100 pieces, 50 pieces, 25, and you could see, oh, it's, we're going to finish today somehow, and maybe in the next hour or so, because it's that tedious a puzzle. And then you get down to the very end and you realize you're short of puzzle pieces. Very anticlimactic for us. We were really kind of disappointed in the fact that we could not be able to see the picture in all its completeness. There were these 4 glaringly large gaps where those 4 pieces should have been to fill. And you might say all that work was for nothing, at least no big payout. Or was there? I mean, let's think about it. Like I said, this stuff's supposed to be hard, right? And it's very rewarding when we're talking about character formation. And after all, we, you know, when we did complete the puzzle, we were able to finally place all the pieces that we could find that we had left. So of the 1,000 pieces, it was 996 we actually were able to place, which is a pretty good job, I'd say. And after all, it was just missing those four pieces, and not much in our grand scheme of life is four little missed pieces, right? That's not going to hurt us that much if there's four little things that we might overlook. We do get to experience the most of the picture, the thought of what the picture should have been, if, minus those four pieces. And when I look at that in the light, or look back on the experience, I should say, in the light of today's passage, I'm reminded that the daily commitment to the journey, right? That daily commitment to our journey does not guarantee that we will ever see the completed picture. Think about that for a minute. We may be intentional, we may be painfully and sacrificially committing to the work of character formation every day, and yet we never get to see the final product, never live to see the final product. That's something for us to think about. You know, on this thought of puzzles too, I want to give you another example. There was this thing that of all people, my daughter reminded us of. We saw online a puzzle that was like 15,000 pieces. And we were thinking about purchasing it and getting it, and then we got to thinking, how would I ever, or we ever, complete such a puzzle? Like, where do we even start, was the question that we came down to, or that kept coming up. And Mia, the youngest and probably the wisest of the family, she says, oh, it's simple, you just start with the corners. Much like Connor reminded us when he was only five about, you know, taking that one extra step, right? Doing one more in the repetitive line of doing things. It's how you get to number, you know, 20 or whatever. You have to do number 11. Mia reminded us that you really, with puzzle making, you start with the corners and the edges, and you kind of get all that complete first. Then you start filling in. At least that's how we do it at our house. It's one step at a time. And that is the same thing in our character formation. Regardless if we ever get to that point where we get to see the completed picture, we get to the point where, like in today's passage, we become these living stones. These stones that are constantly in motion, constantly being formed to be like Christ. Because we never get to see the final picture, do we somehow fail to answer God's call because we don't get the reward of the whole picture or the big picture? I think not, right? Last week I quoted this from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to pick it up in verse 11 again. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Maybe a more simple way to put that or understand that is from rereading verse 10 from today's scripture, where it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, at the end of the day, whether we complete the puzzle or not, that may or may not even be the point. The point really comes down to, or the effort really is in the commitment, the intentional commitment to the journey every day, right? That painful, sacrificial journey of character formation. That's what it really comes down to as Christ followers today. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our time of tithes and offerings, we come to this moment where we're going to pray over our offerings that you are beginning to send in and have been sending in, and if you're on the prayer concerns and you see that, we've done a very good job. And I want to say thank you for everyone's intentional giving and efforts to send in your giving, both to First Kemp as well as Becker UMC. We're doing a very good job being able to continue to bring in the funds necessary to continue to provide and continue to be in ministry to those that are around us there in our community. So I thank you for your faithful giving, and we're doing a great job. I just encourage us to continue to do so. There are the address again for First Kemp is going to be P.O. Box 327 at Kemp, Texas 75143. Also the PayPal account at FUMCKemp@gmail.com. You do have to have a PayPal account set up in order to give electronically if that's your way of doing it. And then there's Becker UMC. We receive those payments at P.O. Box. I shouldn't say payments. We receive your gifts at P.O. Box 92. In Kemp, Texas, 75143. So any that you can give and continue to give faithfully, I know that some of us may be impacted in this time of sheltering and furlough and job loss and a lot of things going on in our communities. And I want to pray about those things as we consider what we can give in our tithes and offerings. This is a way, those who can, that when we do give, we're able to impact those who are without right now. We're able to continue to support them in their time of need. So I encourage you to give generously and give as God moves you to do so. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for all that you have given to us financially, these gifts that you give us that allow us to feed our families, that allow us to provide for our families, that allow us to provide for others, that allow us to, as we give back to you, these little small portion of what you have given to us so abundantly, Lord, that little piece, that little nugget is then multiplied by all the other gifts that are returned. And Lord, that money can then be used not just there in our local communities, but beyond. And so, Father, we continue to lift up the offerings that we return to you, that they may be glorified through your Son's name throughout all of creation. We ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And now we are at our time of pastoral prayer. And I want us to think about, if you have a name that you'd like to lift up, please just enter the first name in our comments and our chats, or the comment, and we will lift them up. And as we have been with Lord, hear our prayer. There have been a few that I've added on our from last week and the weeks before. I've been putting them on both churches' prayer concerns list because we're both here together today, and we're uniting together in this one opportunity to worship together online. So I thought it only appropriate that, regardless of which church you're actually a member of, or that you consider yourself to be a member of, we're all part of God's church, and at this point, we should all be lifting up everyone in each other's prayers. So, doing so, and we'll be doing so as we continue to post those names here. So, for those of you who are listening and just joining, if you have any prayer concerns, please just go ahead and type them into the comments, and we'll go with those. And then, if not, I will close us in a few minutes with a prayer, pastoral prayer for those names that we already have lifted up, and any unspoken requests. And then we will close with the Lord's Prayer together. There's a joy. Chris is healing nicely, so that is a joy we lift up. Lord, hear our prayer. I like weeks with just joys being lifted up, so I'm happy to pray with the one joy being brought to our attention, and that is a wonderful thing. So let's go into our time of pastoral prayer, thinking about all the wonderful things, like moms that are there with us, moms that maybe have gone on to be with the saints, that we still know are there with us and love us dearly, even though they are not with us physically. So Lord, we just want to come to you in prayer, and we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for all the wonderful things you've given to us. We want to especially thank you this day of all days where we recognize mothers and what they do. Whether you are a mother directly to anybody in your family or community, we understand that all people take part in the raising of the young ones. We all take part in how we are an example to those who are younger than us and that are being brought up in our communities. So, Father, I say thank you to all those who have played the role of mother, especially those mothers who have done it so well, that you have that they have turned their life over to you, that they have followed that path of character formation that is not easy. But, Lord, they know that the reward was great, that they would have this opportunity now to be in this time where they have the fruits of their labor are their children who are out in the world and being productive and sharing your love with others. What a blessing that is, that we could see from generation to generation where one caring and giving and gentle soul gives that to one another soul, that they can continue to share in that wonderful opportunity to give and share your love with others. So we thank you for the mothers that we have among us. We thank you for those mothers who have gone on before us. We know that their work is it may be done physically, but Lord, not spiritually. They're still with us. We still receive those lessons and are reminded of the lessons they've given to us over the years. Maybe sometimes years ago. They're gone but not forgotten, Lord, and we just lift them up and thank you for them as well. Father, we thank you for the joys of people in our midst that are receiving healing. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just pray to you this morning and just say thank you for all that you give us. We also want to say thank you for all that you do for us, the healing that's being provided, the healing that will be provided. Lord, we lift up those names who are of ones, people and families who have lost loved ones. And though it has maybe been a week or two, we know that it's still very hard to fill that gap that's been left, Lord. And we know that that's where you fill in, that we can fill in. We can stand in that gap as the royal priesthood, and we can be a part of those who are losing loved ones, but we can comfort them. We can be a part of that process that helps them be comforted. We can help them to move forward. We can help them to continue to grow in their faith, in their likeness of you. We can stand in that gap as part of this royal priesthood that we receive from First Peter today. Father, I just ask that you continue to be with us as we go forth this week. Allow us to continue to be your presence in the world. We ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.